basketball Jones. I got a basketball Jones. Got a basketball Jones.
Ooh. And a basket here. This place goes crazy.
And one.
The game comes down to fundamentals.
All right, everyone, welcome to episode 17 of Storm the Court podcast. As always, Barstool Reeks here, keeping it in the Barstool family this week, joined by a special guest who's kind of seen it all this college basketball season, Barstool Chicago's own Big Cat. Dan, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So, yeah, we'll jump right into it. You know, we were talking a little bit beforehand. Wisconsin's kind of had, they have had the weirdest season in what's been a genuine weird season for all of college basketball. You know, with Bo Ryan, is he going to retire before the season? Is he going to wait till after the season? Nope, he does it in the middle of the night. To the promotion of guard, which I guess everyone kind of expected when Ryan left, to losing to Western Illinois and Milwaukee at home and Marquette at home, to now beating everybody that you guys have seen. So what's it like kind of been watching Wisconsin this year?
It's been very weird, and it's even more weird because Wisconsin is the model of consistency every year in college basketball. They're basically, you know, I think their tournament streak stretches all the way to 1999 now, so it's one of the longest in the country. They're always good, not usually great, but they're always just right there. So to have what happened in the beginning of the season, the Western Illinois loss, there were a couple other bad losses there where they blew games late. It was weird to watch, and it was a team that was had no idea where they were. I actually went to the game in Evanston against Northwestern. That was right before they kind of turned the corner, and they looked really bad then. They just didn't have, like, any flow. If you watch them, and we will talk about this because of last year, because you're a Kentucky guy, but Bo had a swing offense the entire, you know, his entire career at Wisconsin. He was running the motion offense, and then he gets the talent that he's had the last 2 years, and he starts running a lot more one-on-one plays. And then he tried to do that this year, and the talent wasn't even close to the same.
No.
I mean, they're not the prototypical Wisconsin team where, when I say prototypical, I mean five guys on the floor that can all shoot the three, and you have to guard them all, and they're always moving, and they're always getting, you know, they're always passing up looks for better looks. So they started the season trying to play this one-on-one stuff and more set plays, and it didn't work. And now with guard, they've gone back to the old Bo system, and that's why it's worked. That's really, like, how you can see them turning the corner here.
So you have mentioned it. They have gone back to the swing offense. It's now kind of back to the, you know, grinded out games where they'll take, you know, now that it's a 30-second shot clock, they'll take 25 seconds off, no problem. Keep the games, you know, kind of in the 60s. You look at Vegas over-unders, they're always extremely low when Wisconsin is playing. Is Nigel Hayes kind of, I mean, do they go as Nigel Hayes goes, do you think? Or is it more just this team's just now kind of figuring it out?
Well, I think at the beginning of the year that was the case, and that was part of the problem with how they were playing. They were playing where it was basically one guy, and Wisconsin's never been that team. When I was in school, it was Devin Harris and Alonzo Tucker. Those guys were great. They were NBA players, but even still, they had a lot of help, and they had games where they were not the leading scorer. So that was the biggest problem at the beginning of the season, was Nigel was trying to be that guy when the system shouldn't really, like, Wisconsin should never have one guy who dominates everything. That's not how they're. That's not how they recruit. That's not how their offense runs. They have a bunch of guys who can all chip in. Obviously, you're going to have one guy who's going to be better than everyone, and that is Nigel. Now you see a little bit more of, you know, a team that everyone can contribute. Hap's obviously been great. You saw the against Maryland, which was, what, Saturday night? Vito Brown had, what, 21 points?
Something like that. I feel like Vito Brown's that guy that all of a sudden he'll put up 20, because he did it earlier in the year, too. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, shit, Vito Brown, like, he's kind of like Nigel Hayes, where he can do a little bit of everything.
Right.
And then I'm sitting there going, but then the next game he would put up six.
Yeah, he definitely is a little bit of hot and cold. But you need that balance where everyone can chip in, and it's not just Nigel Hayes. And you could tell, like I said, going back to that Evanston, you know, that night in Evanston, Nigel Hayes had this kind of swagger that he was like the best player on the court, but he really kind of wasn't. And it was a weird, body language from the whole team. And I think you're always going to see that when you have back-to-back Final Four trips, back-to-back seasons that were the best seasons in Wisconsin Badger history. And then you kind of take away all this talent. And not only do you take away all this talent, but you take, I mean, people say like, oh yeah, Kaminsky and Decker are gone. A guy like Gasser, who like he did everything, he did all the small stuff. He always guarded
great,
you know,
defender.
Other guys, you know, two guard, and he was a great defender, and he always hit the open shots. Taking away guys like that with that veteran presence, that's really hard to, you know, find someone new to put in there. And I think it all kind of fell on Nigel's shoulders, and a little bit to Bronson Canning, who's not. I don't really see him as a leader type.
Right.
So that was part of the problem. But now they have a little bit more balance, and guard has got them going in the right direction. I think they're pumped to play for guard, which is another part of it.
So we'll get into that in a second, but I want to go back to something you said that I've experienced as well, as like you said, as a Kentucky guy. When I was there, it was Tubby Smith and the Billy Gillespie year. So I didn't get any of the good stuff. It was the last 2 years at Tubby and then the 2 years at Gillespie. So I never saw good basketball. When you were there, you know, you, at Wisconsin, you mentioned the Alondo Tucker, the Devin Harris years. You know, they're always there, but never you were never banking on Wisconsin to be a title contender. Is it weird after you graduate, you know, and we've been graduated for, you know, more than 5 years, more than 6 years. But is it weird when you graduate and all of a sudden Wisconsin's one of the top three teams in the country?
It is a little weird. It's Wisconsin always kind of flirted with it. So
yep.
I think people forget that. I think it was the 2006 year, whatever year UNC won with that loaded team with Sean May.
Yeah, and, that was 06.
So the year that
they beat Illinois.
Yeah, they beat Illinois in the title.
05.
Wisconsin actually played that UNC team toughest of anyone in the tournament.
Yeah.
They ended up losing the game, I think, by 8 points, but it was a game that was back and forth, and it was, I think it was the Elite Eight. So they've always flirted with it, and they've always been like, okay, you know, they've won some Big Ten titles. They always, as good as Michigan State's been under Izzo, Wisconsin's always had Izzo's number. So it's always been this weird thing where they've flirted with it, and you're just hoping to catch lightning in a bottle.
Right.
So then they did. It wasn't totally unexpected. I think winning a title would be unexpected because I just never expect them to win a title ever. But the success the last 2 years was something I feel like we all kind of saw coming eventually. It just kind of – you got to wait it out. You have to have a lot of patience as a Wisconsin Badger fan.
Yeah. Now, this might sound a little weird, but did you have any sort of resentment to Charlie and the kids at Wisconsin that they finally got to see a consistent Final Four team for 2 years in a row? Because I know ever since Calipari has been at Kentucky, part of me has been jealous/hated everyone at Kentucky that they're spoiled. They're spoiled year in and year out.
Yeah, you know, whenever your team does well, you wish you were in like the max, you know, that 21, 22 party age. But I've also been lucky because I've been able to go to two Final Fours. I went and saw them play against Oregon in Milwaukee in the round of 32 or Sweet 16. Sorry. So I've been able to, and that's just part of growing up is like I now have the money to
be
able
to. We can afford to go.
Yeah, I can afford things and can, like, you know, when I go out to watch a big game with my buddies, like I can actually, like, not have to worry about the bar tab putting me under. So yes, I am a little jealous of kids in college, but it's not so bad as well. And especially when you get older and your friends, you know, you lose a little touch with your college friends. This is the kind of shit that brings you back together. Yeah. So that's always nice.
So now going back forward to what, you know, we talked about how Wisconsin kind of looks rejuvenated under guard. I've been on record, and I will say this time and time again, I don't think they should just hire guard because he's Bo's guy. You know, to me, it's like, yeah, Bo, he helped Wisconsin basketball turn the corner. But I hate the idea of just handing over.
Well, that was never going to happen. Because Barry doesn't like guard.
Right.
So there's always been some friction there, and the backroom dealings and how Bo went out I think has left some, you know,
that
bad
pissed
takes
Barry off, right?
Mouth. Yeah, what?
That pissed Barry off beyond belief. Yeah. And he just said, because everyone knew what when Ryan retired, it was he's doing this strictly for,
right,
for Gard to get his chance.
So I actually think Gard was put in a bad situation in terms of long term getting hired by, right, Barry. So anything that he does and to get this job, he did himself. And you're seeing it right now. Like, if they go to the tournament and they get to somehow get to the Sweet 16, I've been on the record as saying I'm fine with Gard being the next coach if Tony Bennett doesn't take your, you know, sweetheart offer.
So for you, it's Tony Bennett or Gard?
Yeah, and the difference is Tony Bennett, to me, the fact that he's been able to build Virginia to what they are,
right,
in North Carolina and Duke's backyard is unbelievable. And if you think that he can do that at Virginia, I mean, he can win a title at Wisconsin, in my mind, because
he'll load up on Big Ten titles again.
Right, and he's a guy who you'd hire him fully expecting him to stay for the next 20 years. That wouldn't be – and the nice thing is, and I don't know if Tony Bennett – I mean, his situation in Virginia is obviously great. He's obviously got Wisconsin roots. The nice thing about Wisconsin is it's not like a Kentucky. It's not like, right, a Kansas. It's not like UNC. The fan base is extremely patient. You will have a job basically for life as long as you don't totally fuck it up. So I could see him taking it. And if he doesn't, I don't think Gard's that bad of an option. I wouldn't say Greg Gard's going to win a national title, but I think when you look at what Wisconsin is, and you have to be a realistic fan, they are, like I said, they're a team that you're trying to just recruit consistently, get a couple guys, hope a few of them stay 4 years, and you get it all to come together at once. Right.
You just want to be top 20 if you're Wisconsin. Right. Consistently top 20.
Right. And you get in the tournament every year, and which is – I feel like people don't – I know that it sounds – it's like almost like a given that they're in the tournament, but that is a pretty impressive record to be in the tournament every single year.
Yeah. When you look at the names that haven't, right, made the tournament every year, it's like I think the list right now, it's Wisconsin, Arizona, and Gonzaga maybe is the three,
right,
longest.
Right. So
it's like Carolina, no Kentucky, no, right, Duke, no. I mean, it's insane when you start really looking at it.
So, and once you realize, I mean, we're kind of two different. You and I are different. Like, we're opposite fans when it comes to college basketball, because you every year expecting, you know, right, a new talent to come in and be unbelievable every year. I'm basically the guy who's sitting there. I'm the grinder at the blackjack table. I'm just going to keep, you know, betting my $5 chips, and hopefully one day, like, I get a couple aces I can split and get all my money in play and win the big pot. So
yeah, you're doubling down four times and hitting 21.
Right, right. That's the only way I'm going to win. So, I think Greg Gard would be the consistent. He would have the consistency to recruit like Bo recruited. I think you'd have the program kind of continue along, which means they probably won't win a title, but they might go back to another Final Four in the next 10 years.
So I agree with you that Bennett you have to make the sweetheart offer to Bennett. Otherwise, you lose a lot of fans of how do you not at least see what's out there.
Right.
But for me, I think the number two option, and I'm going to throw this around to you and see what you think, is Bryce Drew from Valpo. He's a young guy. He's never had a losing record. He knows the Midwest, obviously. He can kind of help recruit that. You know, he has some ties to Chicago. Maybe he gets one guy every 3 years from there, which is a step up. Again, he's young, similar to Bennett, so you expect him to be there for 20 years because, you know, there's not many better, like you said, there's not a ton of better coaching jobs in basketball than Wisconsin.
So the question with Bryce Drew is, does he in any way have his eyes on Indiana? Because we know Indiana's going to be open eventually. Tom Crean's not, I mean, what he's done this year, obviously he's rejuvenated his career a little bit here, and he's probably bought himself another year or two. But that marriage isn't going to last forever.
No.
So, and obviously everyone points to Brad Stevens, but he seems to have things going pretty nicely in Boston. So,
yep,
who's going to be the guy who goes to Indiana, which is, you know, considered a premier job? And I'm not going to say that Wisconsin is a better job than Indiana is a better,
right,
job than Wisconsin. They can still get a top five recruiting class.
They don't have to leave.
It's a volatile job. Yeah, it's a volatile job. They go up and down,
right,
a lot more than Wisconsin does, but their highs are probably higher, and they'll get that number one recruiting class with NBA talent. So that would be my only concern with him. The thing that sucks is the timing was just off with Shaka Smart. I mean, Shaka Smart's a Madison guy. I think he
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's from Madison. So okay. I think he probably would have taken a look if the timing had been, you know, more right on there. So that one's disappointing. I've always kind of wanted – I love watching, obviously. I mean, I bet on Shaka Smart tonight, just like you did. So.
Yeah, I go back and forth with Smart. I've heard some stories where the players at VCU are actually happy he left, which kind of shocked me when I heard that. Because, you know, you see him and he does all the quirky things and he's always energetic. I thought, you know, it was a no-brainer that he went to Texas. I think Florida got screwed royally because he has ties to Florida. And if that job opened up, I thought he would have took that. So, yeah, I had no idea he was from Madison, though. So, yeah, I think you're right, though. You have to make the sweetheart offer to Bennett. Let the fans know, hey, we're trying here. If he says no, let the fans get pissed off at Bennett. And then you hire guard. Okay, like you said, it's you want to be consistent. And I think that's right from the Wisconsin side, which I'm a little jealous of because it's a little nerve-wracking as a Kentucky fan to go into every season. And it's, well, preseason number one, are they going to go 38-2? Right. Or are they going to go – because I think I was talking to Banks about it, maybe, a Maryland fan, and it was like, you know, you get so invested in these teams when they're title contenders. Well, every year I'm supposed to be invested heading into the preseason, it seems like.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really nice humble brag there, bro. I know. Like, so it's a sick brag.
No, well, but we're getting ready to talk about Wisconsin beating me. I had to get something in.
Yeah, that's true. But, no, it will be interesting to see what happens with the coaching for sure. And the other issue is there's a lot of politics at play with Wisconsin. People are getting a little antsy with the way Barry's kind of run things because – It's a tough situation. Barry Alvarez has made Wisconsin athletics relevant by himself, basically. So he put Wisconsin athletics on the map, you know, with the football program. And as the football program went, so did the basketball program. But he obviously has a huge ego, and he wants to be the guy still and kind of like this omnipresent, you know, figure that's always around and always kind of gets credit. So I think there's and if you talk to people about how they judge, you know, jobs and in the college coaching world, is football and basketball, the AD matters a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know if Barry's – I wouldn't say he's hard to work with. I think he's pretty stubborn, and he gets what he wants most of the time. And you've seen it with the football side where we've had a little bit of a carousel here and, you know, guys who aren't getting paid, you know, the assistants who aren't getting paid and going for better jobs and stuff like that. So this is going to be a pretty important hire for Barry, and he's got to make sure he does something right. And I mean, Bennett hopefully will come, but like I said, guard would be – I'd be fine with guard as well.
So now we did mention, obviously, Kentucky, Wisconsin. You got to go to that last year. I was supposed to go, and – luckily, I backed out at the last second because Indy's only an hour and a half drive from me. So I was like, okay, I'm willing to make the drive. Luckily, I backed out at the last second. What's it like? I have yet to go to a Final Four in person. What's it like seeing your team in the Final Four? And specifically that game where it was – I mean, that was one of the best games I've seen. I wish that was a national championship more than the Duke-Wisconsin game.
It was one of the best games I've ever seen, and it was years and years of bad and frustrating losses kind of coming to, you know, fruition in one big win. I had been to two Rose Bowls, so I had gone to the TCU Rose Bowl and the Oregon Rose Bowl. I had been to countless, you know, other big games on the road and whatnot, and I went to the Kentucky Wisconsin Final Four the year prior.
Yeah.
So it was definitely one of those situations where I didn't expect them to win. When they did, I went on like a 30-hour bender. You can ask Hank and Gaz and Dave. I basically didn't stop drinking until after the loss against Duke. So
I did too, just for opposite reasons.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things where you knew that it probably wasn't going to come around again. So I was taking full advantage of it, and I was like, you know what, fuck this. I don't care. I'm going to stay at the bar till 2 in the morning, wake up, go back to the bar at 10 a.m. on Sunday. So, and it was a good time. And it was – I still think – I don't understand why Calipari coached Carl Anthony Towns the way he did last year when you see how good he is and how much range he has in the NBA?
I ask that a lot too. And there's no real answer besides I think he was trying to prepare Towns for the NBA along with just having that roster. I think if you didn't have Cauley-Stein and some of the other big guys there, you give Towns a little more freedom, like he did in the Notre Dame game, where he gave him the ball every possession in the post.
Right.
And Towns won that game.
That was weird, too, because coming off of that game, you're like, this guy can't be stopped. He's the best player. And he was the best player on the court. I mean, I don't think
he's the most talented player.
Right. Or Frank Kaminsky are better. So, I mean, Decker obviously had an unbelievable tournament and was scoring, you know, was shooting the lights out. But Carl Anthony Towns is the best player on the court. I just didn't – it was always confusing to me, especially when you can get someone – especially with Wisconsin had the size disadvantage when you had a couple guys on there. If you move Carl Anthony Towns away from the basket and spread the floor – I would think you would be able to attack the rim a lot more. It was always confusing to me, especially watching him now.
It was, because you're sitting there going, okay, why don't you put Towns in the post, but then you can't play Willie Cauley-Stein because he couldn't shoot more than 10 feet away. Then it's okay, do we lose that defensive matchup against Kaminsky? But like you said, I would have liked to seen a little more Towns with a smaller lineup. You know, I wish they kind of would have went to Harrison Twins, Booker. Although Booker got destroyed defensively, which does not get talked about enough. That's where Wisconsin killed Kentucky was on Booker with Decker. Decker just dominated that game. As much as Kentucky had the size advantage in the post, Decker was just too good and too strong in that game.
His game against Kentucky and his game against Arizona were out of this world.
I don't know if I'll consider it a hot take, but I always thought Decker was the more unique player for Wisconsin, as opposed to Kaminsky.
Unique in what sense? Like
he was so athletic. He was so athletic, and he could do a little bit of everything.
You're right. Kaminsky was, if you've watched Wisconsin for a while, Kaminsky was like a 2.0 of like the Brian Butch kind of mold. He's a lot better than Brian Butch, but that mold of a big guy who can play inside out and can make a lot of moves down the post. I agree. Decker's a guy that you haven't seen a lot of. I'm trying to think. Yeah, he's not.
There's never a comparison. Kind
of athletic like Decker, but he didn't have a shot that Decker had. I mean, he was a special player, and that was a special team. It was too bad that Coach K had to, bribe the refs at halftime of the finals to basically call the game completely different in the second half, because that team should have won a title and deserved to win a title.
I blogged about it a couple months ago. An anonymous Division I coach came out and said that, or a couple coaches and refs came out and said that Wisconsin got screwed.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely did. They called the game completely different. They called every single foul. In the second half, it was bullshit. I mean, obviously, it didn't help that Decker was really cold. And I kind of knew. Dave and everyone sitting next to us, when Decker airballed that first three, it was like, oh shit, something's wrong. So that was one of those moments where it was like just a little bit too big for, the team outside of Kaminsky, who was unbelievable and the best. He was the best player on the court that night.
Yes, absolutely.
Obviously, was great in the second half. But that Coach K, he for sure had a strong talking to those refs and was able to pull some strings and get the calls he needed in the second half.
So now, not only just being there in person for the Final Four in the game, but what was it like kind of watching it? Like you said, you were at the year before Final Four with Aaron Harrison's three when it looked like Wisconsin had the game wrapped up. Was there a little bit of redemption? Did as a Wisconsin fan, did you want to see Kentucky in the Final Four again just to get a second chance?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Especially because you guys were undefeated. And that's a situation where anytime Wisconsin plays Kentucky or Duke, everyone expects the Duke and Kentuckys of the world. Right. That's just what people expect. So you go in there just with a little bit of house money and a little swagger that, the pressure – even in terms of fan base, is on the other side. Like, if you watched Jared Lorenzen, I was like, dude, we're going to beat you. And he wasn't nervous, but you could tell it's like what's the worst that happens? Kentucky wins and they go 39-0, and it's like everyone expect good right. season Wisconsin. You expected Kentucky to win, or Wisconsin wins and it's a shocker, and you know you see what ends up happening. So they're definitely that was definitely one that I wanted redemption. And I had gone to a few games last year. I went to the Big Ten title game. I don't even know. I think it was against Michigan State. So yeah, that was a really fun team. And it's not going to be. It's one of those times where you probably won't get many seasons like that where everything kind of comes together and the team's a lot of fun to root for. And I was ready to go. I had the invite to the party, so the after party, which I don't even know what a college after party would be like because most of those guys are under 21.
Right.
But I did have the invite. I was on the list, so that would have been a. That would have been a good Barstool moment as well, being able to party with Wisconsin after the win.
That would have been. So, one team that seems to always have it together that is your – somehow became your de facto team, de facto associated with, but has fallen apart. Really, it's just been like the last 2 years, it seems like, is Villanova.
Oh, they do that every year. Come on.
But do they? I mean, they –
Yeah, with – what's his name? What was the four-guard season with – Alan Ray,
Kyle Lowry, Mike Nardi.
They
made the Elite Eight that year?
Yeah, I know, but it was just like it was another year. It was like Villanova. And then just like clockwork, if the threes stop falling, they lose everything.
Well,
so,
that's their problem is they just live by the three.
Right. So I actually it's a weird world because I was number one most hated guy from the Villanova fan base last year. Before the tournament started, you weren't with us then, were you?
No, this past year is my first year.
Okay, so I don't know if you saw, but I basically was like, Villanova's a fraud. They're going to be out in the second round. It happens every year. People jumped down my throat. Big Cat, you don't know anything about basketball. Villanova's legit. They're the best team. You know, they've won their conference. They're this, they're that. Boom, they lose to who? NC State or something?
NC State.
And I just soaked in their tears. And I was like, I fucking told you guys. So we had that moment where everyone hated me. And then we've had a weird bonding moment since then. And now I'm a de facto Villanova fan, even though I know they're probably going to lose in the tournament at some point.
It's funny. So I grew up about an hour and a half from Villanova. My cousin went to Nova and was actually invited to walk on, or he was possibly going to walk on back in, and it was around the four-guard lineup time, so he's pretty familiar with the program. I got a text from him today. They're selling Villanova number one shirts.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he sent me a text, he goes, this is the epitome of like the 40-0 shirts. I can't wait for us to lose in the round of 32 again. Like,
yeah.
This is a disaster. So Villanova fans are even just like, we're screwed no matter what.
I think last year kind of woke up a few Villanova fans are like, because they really didn't think they were going to be a great team, you know, have a great run last year. I'll say this, as the de facto Villanova guy now, I do think they're better than the round of 32 this year. I think they're going to be a Sweet 16 team.
Because they shoot a ton of threes, but I think Josh Hart is just phenomenal and can take over the game whenever he wants.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put them a round further this year. I think Villanova's gonna have a nice little run. The problem with Villanova is who have they played and who have they beaten? I mean,
their schedule's not terrible.
The two best teams that they played on their schedule, they got worked.
They got worked by Oklahoma and Hawaii. They lost to Virginia at Virginia, but they were winning for 32 minutes of that game.
Okay, but those are two teams that – those are like the teams that are the teams that you expect to be there at the end. Those two teams. Like the teams that they're beating in conference, Georgetown's fluky.
Seton Hall's not good. Weird.
Providence is okay, but I've seen them play some pretty bad games.
Providence is like the Thunder. Who?
I hate Butler now.
Oh, yeah. I shouldn't say that. I'm like the de facto Xavier fan now. I love Xavier.
Okay. Xavier's okay, yes. But Butler has been up and down. I think their whole conference isn't that good.
The Big East is a very weird conference because everyone thought they were going to take this massive jump forward this year. And a couple teams have, but a couple teams have regressed. So it's the same thing. Everyone's kind of ranked like in KenPom, like 38-60.
Right.
So they're racking up a ton of wins like that. But I don't know. I think this Villanova team's a little different. Like you said,
no, I said they are different. They're going to go to the Sweet. They're going to go to Sweet 16.
They're going to make the Sweet 16.
There's your difference. So I'm rooting for Villanova to at least make it out of the first weekend, so we can have a little fun ride with them. And the best part was all the Villanova fans, when I did all that last year, when I was like, they're going to lose, they're going to lose, they all in turn were like rooting so hard against Wisconsin, and Wisconsin just kept on winning. So
there's no better feeling than that. Yeah. I did that with Virginia last year. I've been anti-Virginia for the last 3 years. It's like they can't win with this system in the tournament just because it was like the old Wisconsin games where, you know, Bo Ryan with the swing offense with Bo Ryan, where it's they'd let a weaker team hang around, and the last minute give up a 6-0 run to lose the game.
It's happened a few times in the tournament with the Bo Ryan teams. It happened against Davidson with Steph Curry. It happened against Butler where they go a 10-minute stretch without a field goal, and you can't win tournament games like that. So
that's how I feel about Virginia.
Yeah.
It's just because, especially this year, everyone's telling me how their offense is better. I don't believe in their offense after Malcolm Brogdon. I just don't think they have that other guy.
Yeah, they need, like I would have said before the last 2 years, I don't believe in Wisconsin's offense going into the tournament. You need two guys who can both take over the game if they need to, and like a Kaminsky and a Decker. And if you don't have that, you can't win a national title with just one guy.
No, God, no. When's the last time you've even... I guess the last time you've seen it was probably Shabazz or Kemba Walker.
No, but that team had other talent
they
around.
They did. I guess I'm just thinking the one guy that just gets ridiculously hot during the
Kemba had Shabazz, didn't he?
Kemba had Shabazz.
Yeah.
And then Shabazz had Ryan Boatwright.
Right. So, I mean, you're not going to be able to do it with one guy. You need some scorers who can hit open shots, and you know, you can't have just one place to go in crunch time, especially because we know how close these tournament games are.
So when somebody asked today on Twitter, when you are filling out your bracket, and obviously there's nothing here, what do you look at, like, in terms of, like you said, you can't have one guy win it all. Are there any other, quote, stipulations you look at?
My rule forever has always been whatever round you think Michigan State's going to get bounced in, go one round further. Yeah, that's honestly it. Like, I'll just be like, oh, I think they're Elite Eight. They're in the Final Four. I do that every single year. The Villanova one, obviously, has been nice. I don't think whenever unless UNC has, like, a loaded roster, I don't think Roy Williams is that great of an in-game
coach. You're the only other person in this world besides me. I've been saying it all year. I can't trust Carolina this year just because Roy Williams has been a good coach since 2009 when they had a loaded roster again with McCants.
No, he needs superior talent because he just can't make the adjustments in game. I mean, I watched it last year when Wisconsin played them. He didn't make any adjustments. He took way too long to call timeouts and settle his team down. And that's
vertigo.
March Madness, they're fucking kids. And these moments are enormous for them. But once you get past the first couple rounds – and just being able to control the emotion and having them play and have confidence is so important. I don't care how much talent you have. These guys are still – like Ben Simmons, like he's still a kid. I've watched games where LSU where he'll take just the dumbest foul at the beginning of the game. Like he'll get his second foul really early. And you'll remember, this kid's talented, but he's a fucking kid.
He's 18.
Right.
He makes how dumb were we at 18? And now do it in front of a million people watching.
So controlling the emotion, the coach being able to control emotion in the tournament is huge. And I just don't think – I've never thought Roy Williams was great at that. I also – I'm trying to think. I mean, usually if you fade Bill Self, you're doing okay. That's another one. Although I will say Kansas, I was off them about a month ago like everyone else.
And then back
what
on.
What they've done – and I don't know if that's just that they have Oklahoma's number – but
I think they do.
Yeah.
They can match up. Well, the thing is they can match up for me is with Spangler. Like Ellis can step out and guard him, and you're not getting the traditional slow-footed power forward, which Oklahoma can take advantage of. And obviously, I mean, I don't know if I can say they shut down Buddy Hield when he scored 46 and 28 in the two games or whatever, but they at least make him work for his shots. It seems like a lot more than other teams.
That's another team. I mean, if you can find teams that have, one outrageous scorer, you just know they'll probably win a few games. I mean, it's kind of like the Wally Szczerbiak effect, yeah. where it's just like if you just have a guy who can just, you know, or even Jimmer, who can just, like, drop buckets, he probably can get you a couple games. Then, of course, like we said, you can't win it with one player, so you're not going to want to put him past Sweet 16. I will say that my favorite bet in all of college basketball, and it's hard to do. I still don't make it because I'm like such a pussy. If you just consistently bet unranked teams at home versus ranked opponents
every time.
Yeah, I mean you'll hit like 70%. It's just really hard to be diligent and
especially because like, they only get like 2 points. It's usually like unranked, it's like 2.5. And
don't
like,
do it. I never do it if it's over 10 because that means the team really sucks. Yeah, like Rutgers will be plus 16. You know,
I bet Rutgers once this year against Ohio State, and they were getting 20.5.
They were
winning by 8 with 2 minutes to go in the first half. They lost by 30.
I believe it.
They're and I was just like, really what the hell?
I mean, they're 15-point dogs against Illinois tonight. Yeah. Illinois is bad.
And Illinois is garbage.
Really bad. And I think Illinois will probably cover.
Now, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to ask, you know, you mentioned Villanova and fan bases. And we mentioned this guy earlier, Tom Crean. I think, do we both hate Indiana?
I don't hate Indiana. I have a ton of friends who went to Indiana. Okay. Indiana's got a really big presence in Chicago.
Well, that's why I hate them, too. It's because Indiana has a presence in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Well,
I can't stand my friends, basically.
Yeah, so Indiana's an interesting case because when Indiana's good, yes, I do hate them because they're fucking insufferable. But they haven't been it's good enough for me to hate them recently.
The Zeller year was really it.
Right. And then Tom Crean is one of those guys that I love him because Indiana hates him. Indiana fans hate him. So it's I love because his stupidity like makes me laugh, and I know it makes all my friends angry rooting for a guy like that.
I think it's funny that whenever, like you said earlier, you think maybe this year he bought himself another year or two, every fan base, like Kentucky, Louisville, the surrounding, the Big Ten, just does a collective fist pump.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we get him for another year at Indiana. We're set.
I think he did, though. I mean, you can't fire him after. I mean, I didn't think Indiana was going to be a top 25 team this year.
I mean, they still might. They might easily fall to like an 8 seed, though.
Yeah.
They say they fall to an 8. I mean, they lost to Penn State. Penn State fucking sucks.
That was a really bad loss. Who else do they have on there?
I didn't look off the top of my head. I know they still play Maryland at the very last game of the season. And I think they have Iowa at Iowa.
So they're Nebraska tomorrow, Purdue, Illinois, Iowa, Maryland. So they should win. They'll beat Nebraska and Illinois, and then the other three
so
they could go
2-3.
Yeah, they have Purdue at home, so they should go 3-2 to finish.
3-2 and a win in the Big Ten. They're probably like a 6 seed.
Yeah, 23-8 overall. But the Penn State loss is obviously bad, and the Wake Forest won at the beginning of the season.
And UNLV, too.
Yeah, UNLV. Yeah, I mean, they lost to Duke. But, yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens with Crean. I honestly think, talking to, like, Indiana fans, they just so desperately want Brad Stevens, and the worst thing that's happened to them is that the Celtics have been good.
Celtics are good.
Right.
Like, I would not leave the Celtics for essentially a halfway rebuilding project in Indiana.
No, but Brad Stevens is, in my mind, like a Harbaugh going to Michigan. If he goes to Indiana, they'll win a title within 5 years.
Yeah, just because he's just such a good coach.
He's such a good coach, and he'll be, being able to recruit and be like, hey, I took two Butler teams to the Final Four, or to the championship game. I went to, you know, I coached them for the Celtics. I turned them around. Like, his recruiting story just keeps getting better and better. So he's definitely one where, like, everyone in the Big Ten, as much as they fist pump when Tom Crean comes back, they know that Brad Stevens is, like, the Death Star waiting if Indiana could ever get him.
So are there any fan bases or teams that you just can't stand? Who is Big Cat's least favorite fan bases / teams?
Oh, that's a good question.
Guys that you just can't stand seeing them win.
I mean, I obviously hate Duke. Beyond belief. Their fan
that's
base.
That's a given for anybody that's not from Central Jersey or went to Duke.
Yeah, their fan base is the absolute worst. You know, I'm trying to think. I really don't. Basketball is a little different, especially for Wisconsin. Like, there's not as much of a traditional rivalry, and it doesn't feel like the same as football. I kind of hate Michigan State, but Izzo's – I like Izzo. So it's really tough to hate them. Right.
I don't like that. I had Clem on last week, and he was kind of saying the same things where, you know, he's more of a casual fan, but he associates, you know, teams with coaches now, especially with the NBA rule being the one and done, where it's, you know, Kentucky's Calipari, Wisconsin was Ryan, you know, Texas is now Shaka Smart. So it's more, do you like this coach or not?
Right, right. So I don't like Coach K. I do hate Marquette. Marquette's annoying because they like – Marquette, they only have basketball, and the Marquette student body always thinks that they're like a premier program because of Dwayne Wade and Lyle McGuire and all that shit and like the way past. So
little brother syndrome.
Right. Right. And so they're like a little pest. Every December they pop up. I'm trying to think who else in the Big Ten. Yeah, there's not like there's not a lot of hateable coaches. I do think I will end up hating Maryland a lot.
Because
they already stole Diamond Stone and I don't really like Turgeon. And so they also feel like an outsider in the Big Ten. They still feel, and maybe this will change after a while, but they feel like an ACC school still to me. Yep. So they're almost like intruding in on my party.
Well, then like what you said with Marquette, they kind of have little brother syndrome as well, where, I mean, hell, they've made one Sweet 16 since 2002.
Right.
And they hold on to that fucking Juan Dixon and Lonnie Baxter, who got arrested for shooting outside the White House.
Right.
And like, this is who you're holding on to.
Right.
Exactly. And you guys haven't been good since then.
Right.
So it's just like, I hope, and I've hated Maryland my entire life, where my dad went to Wake Forest. I grew up a Wake Forest fan, ACC fan. Used to go to Maryland games with like Joe Smith. I fucking hated them all my entire life. So I will actively root against them come March.
Yeah, and I think that will definitely be a team that I'll end up hating a lot. You know, it also comes down to Wisconsin. If you really look at it the last decade, they've sort of, between Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Ohio State's had a little uprisings here and there. Those three schools have pretty much dominated the Big Ten play. So it's tough to hate teams as much when you're like beating them, you know? Right. So it's my hatred is definitely at an all-time low in terms of college basketball. And to be honest, I'm a college basketball fan because I gamble on it and I watch Wisconsin. But I don't know if you are like a live and die college basketball guy, but the product's not good.
No, I am. So I get asked this all the time. I am a live and die college basketball guy. I have been my entire life. Not that I dislike the NBA or anything. I will watch any NBA game, and I will actively or. I will admit the NBA is a much better product, much better game, but I don't know what it is. I've just always leaned towards college basketball. I can't describe it.
What college basketball needs to do to fix college basketball, there's a couple of things. One, the 30-second shot clock obviously was huge. I don't know why they didn't do that a long time ago. The games
scoring's up big time this year, which is obviously
the
helping.
The totals just from like as a better. I was actually thinking about this last night. This is the shit you think of when you're in gambling retirement. I was thinking about how you never bet a game in the totals of 140 back in the day. Like, you just wouldn't. And back in the day, I mean last year. Like, you just wouldn't. That was just too many points.
And now it's like, oh, it's only 141?
Yeah, 140's low. Which is crazy. I bet shit up in like, there's been some, I'm a sneaky, what I like, my love for the Mac translates to the Horizon League in basketball. Okay. So I'm like a little bit, I love the Horizon League. There's been a couple like Wisconsin Green Bay, like Detroit games that have been in like 175, which is outrageous.
Oakland loves scoring in like the 180s.
Yeah, Oakland's another team. So, I like the Horizon League, but so that's obviously helped the 30-second shot clock. They need to do something about the fouls. I hate how if you get your second foul like early in the first half, they'll just pull you for the rest of the half.
I'm all for going up to six fouls.
Six fouls. And then I don't know how they're going to do it, but they need to figure out a way where kids can test the NBA draft and still come back. So it happens so often that guys think that they're going to get, they're going to be a lottery pick and then they're not. And then they're stuck and they're a second round pick and they don't have, you know, they're stuck on a bench and then they end up overseas. And it's like, dude, you just gave up. Well, you would have been great in college for another year. So I don't know how they do it, but that would be great.
they did a little, they helped out a little bit where they pushed back the date that you have to declare. So you have a longer gap to get all your research done. I agree with you. I think what they should do is if you can put your name in the draft, if you get drafted, you have to go. If you don't get drafted, you can come back to college, no questions asked.
See, I think they should go one further. I think they should do that. I like that. And then they should just do, if you get drafted in the second round, you can go back to college. I don't know how to figure it out because teams would be, but how many second round picks usually pan out in the NBA? That's not like a high hit rate.
No, you just hear the names like Draymond and Manu and Gilbert Arenas and those guys.
But I
mean,
Draymond was wasn't he a 4-year starter?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what, like, obviously, if you're a 4-year starter, and then actually you give some of these 4-year starter guys an advantage to get picked in the second round and maybe get a shot in the NBA, whereas they might have been not picked because, you know, a team took a Cliff Alexander or someone who sucks. Right. Who didn't even get drafted. But that, I don't know. I would like to see something like that happen where we can have guys have the ability to get back into college. Yeah, I think they just make mistakes. I think kids make mistakes. They listen to the wrong people.
It's hard not to.
In the wrong spot. Yeah. Right.
So, all right, well, we've discussed how to fix college basketball. We have fixed college basketball. Talked about Villanova. I'll let you get out under one last question after this, and this is something I ask everybody. Without looking at brackets, obviously, who's your national champion and who's your Final Four picks right now?
All right, I thought you were going to ask me this, and I didn't even prepare, even though I knew you were going to ask me this. That's how stupid I am. Michigan State's in there.
Okay.
Kansas is in there. I bet against them tonight, but I actually think West Virginia could make a run. I'm trying to think who my fourth team's going to be. I don't know. I'm going to take Michigan State to win it all. I think this might be one of those years for them. You know, Notre Dame's played pretty tough, and they've beaten some good teams recently. That might be my fourth team, and they're always kind of right on there. Who do you have in yours?
So I would go – I'm going to go Oklahoma just because I think
– I mean, if they run into Kansas, they probably won't because they're probably both 2-1.
They'd have to wait till the Final Four, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to go Oklahoma. I'm going to go Michigan State. I'm going to go Xavier. And, man, I liked them until this last week. I wanted to go Oregon, but they've sucked the last week. But I'll still throw Oregon out there. I think they can turn it around. Actually, Arizona, they fly under the radar. I'll take Arizona, and I'll take Oklahoma winning it all.
You think Arizona can put it together? I mean, they probably won't have to play Wisconsin, so.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they've had their big-time freshman, Alonzo Trier, has been out for the last couple weeks. They just haven't been healthy all year. I think they'll finally be healthy, and then they can finally be Arizona. And I like Sean Miller a ton.
I also think we're probably, and this is probably a crazy pick, but it's like clockwork. You always got to be ready for a random Connecticut run. And they're like right on that like bubble where they're not good enough.
Yeah, so like they'll be a 7-9 seed.
Right.
They'll draw Villanova in the second round.
Yeah, right. They just win, you know, out of nowhere. They're in that space right now where I think if you look at it, there's probably, I mean, more than any year I can remember, there's probably like 10 teams you could say could win it all.
I would say there's probably more than that this year.
Yeah, and then there's like a bubble of teams right after that where, like, your Wisconsin's, your Indiana's, your these teams that have shown flashes and beaten good teams.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, there might be a team. I would say there's probably, that would actually be a good blog to write. Like, you said there was someone who did 8?
Yeah, Luke Wynn came out with, like, his magic 8.
I think there's one of the Final Four teams is going to come from that like 15 to 30.
Yeah,
15 to 30 KenPom rankings. Right.
I would buy that. All right, well, I'll let you get out of here on that note because now I got a blog to write.
Yeah, there you go.
After that. So half my work's done. again, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely.
Obviously, if you're following me at Barstool Reeks, you're probably following Big Cat. Again, at Barstool Big Cat. Any last words, man?
Nope. We'll go Badgers and go Villanova. Worst Villanova fan ever. Yeah, go Wildcats.
All right, sounds good. Again, follow the show at Storm the Court PC. Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you later.